Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
We're going to talk today on how to maintain healthy boundaries as a homeschool parent with Dr. Amber Sorsic. Welcome, Amber. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Absolutely. I have to let you know that the next three interviews are all going to be in person. And these are people in my life that speak parent care and healthy feed my soul too as friends and fellow believers. And so Dr. Amber is my chiropractor nutritionist, but she's also a member of my church and
yes, small world,
and
right?
Small world, exactly. and so I'm just delighted to introduce her to you and to have her share. And I'll just have you kick off by sharing with us just a little bit about your journey into homeschooling.
Sure.
And then we can kind of start from there.
Yes. So our journey did not start like this. Yeah. But, you know, I think we always had this different idea about education for our kids. Mm-hmm. And so as I was finishing grad school, we had our oldest. I was pregnant with our second. And we were just on the search for, like, you know, this amazing Mother's Day out somewhere that she could be just a couple hours while right. I went to class and came home. And we did find a Christian-based program that really kind of wove in some more natural free play, kind of like right. a Montessori style. Little less rigid, that just kind of felt, she was from the get-go a very kinesthetic learner. So say okay. she were in a preschool, that was a bunch yes. of worksheets.
Oh,
it would,
yeah, no.
It would never
exactly.
have, you know, we really just wanted her somewhere where she was learning through play. She was little. She was
right.
just shy of three.
Yeah.
And so we ended up loving that preschool, which turned into her also attending their Christian school for kinder and first.
Got it. Yeah.
Then the Lord moved us to Houston and we weren't really sure what to do because she was already in first grade. I don't know why, but homeschool wasn't on my mind at all. Uh-huh. I think that being planted here, it became very obvious that there's a big homeschool community in our
yes,
even local
is.
Setting. It's not just Houston, you know?
Right.
And we kept meeting people at the very beginning from that were homeschooling with a classical method.
Right.
So then I started learning about what the classical method is. And in this mix, we had pulled her out of school for the second semester of, we moved in the middle of winter. Okay. So we just knew we were going to, you know, do some rendition of homeschool for the remainder of first grade.
That just makes sense.
Yes, it felt like
the transition is so hard.
The move was so big.
Right.
Yes. And yeah, just, I don't know. I think God just moved and it just fell into some women or some families have these super romantic stories. Like they are so sure that God called them to homeschool. Mm-hmm. And I think ours just naturally happened. So it's a little less romantic than knowing that the Lord told us to do it, except for that the way was paved so easily.
Yes. And people were just put in your path.
Exactly.
It's like that confirmation you just keep getting over and over again. Okay, right. This is what I'm supposed to do. And
it's hard not to listen when it keeps getting presented.
Right.
And you're like, oh,
exactly.
Okay. All right. Yes. I better tune into this.
And so that's just a really good point to put out, you know, what for anything that happens in our life.
It's true.
God is so gentle in leading us and guiding us. It's not like he's going to hit us over the head and say, didn't you get it the first time I told you?
As much as that would be easier sometimes, you know, when you're kind of like at a crossroads, surely it would be amazing if, you know, you're just looking in the mirror and then Jesus could stand right before you and be like, go this way.
Absolutely.
But it worked out so well for us. Yeah. Very fruitful from the beginning. And then, so we have three daughters.
Yes.
So then the second and third were just close to school age after that. So then by the time they were ready to do actual kind of curriculum work and schoolwork.
School, yeah.
We kind of had the road paved a little bit more. Because the first couple years are a little bit rocky.
They are.
I hope that's true for everybody.
It is. It definitely is. And I always said, well, if I can get to 3 years, I will be an expert homeschooler. That didn't happen, but it became the mode of how our house functioned by that time. And I think that was the key. I never quite figured it out. Now that I'm done, I still, you know, can't say that there's a specific way that makes homeschooling perfect. But yet when your family's all on board and when the kids wake up in the morning and know that this is what we do.
Right.
That changes the game, but it takes a while to change everybody's mental.
Definitely.
Patterns. Yeah.
And just the habits, which is the same thing as pattern, you know, just, and I think maybe we had a little bit of glitching when it came to authority, not from a disobedient standpoint, but just from like, she was kind of, even though she was in a good school setting and I was very pleased with the way they were educating the children, it was still different. It was 8 hours of hour by hour, which you can't mimic that at home.
And you don't want to.
And I don't think she was used to us teaching.
Right. Yes.
And so
and parents are often removed as an authority when we send our kids to school. And we don't think about that, is that we have to reestablish that authority as a parent overall because the school comes in and takes over that authorship of our children, which is scary.
Yes, for sure. Especially like if you can't or you don't have the flexibility to and freedom to figure out the proper setting.
Right.
So that was, I think that's some of the slower growth at the beginning.
Right.
So that was, we've been here 5 years. So our oldest did kinder and then half of first and then now is doing sixth grade curriculum. So there's, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And then we have our other two daughters, they're 18 months apart. So they're both, you know, second, third grade-ish.
Right.
Their closeness in age helps us keep them on similar coursework, which minimizes
exactly
work for me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So when we're kicking off a new topic this month, actually on Tuesday we talked about creativity and parenting and just how that fuels your spiritual growth. And so when I approached you about talking about parent care, I figured, you know, with your background, you'd come back with something else. And she said, no, I want to talk about boundaries. And so what is it about boundaries and parent care that, you know, that was stirring in you when you said, this is what I want to talk about?
I think it would have been so natural for me to go, you know, the human body, right? Because that's my profession and I've done some version of clinical nutrition or since I was 19. So, and I just turned 36. So like that was how I entered nutritional care was right. I was in grad school and I was researching. So then I did some scientific research, like bench work actually with whole foods, organic vegetables. And so nutrition would be, it's not that I wanted a challenge. It's just that like, yeah, I think that would have been very expected of me. But what I will say is that though I've been doing some version of that since I was 19, I really don't think that I was a healthy woman until the Lord put people in my path to teach me emotional health. It was almost like I pigeonholed myself into,
and that's
it
only
has
one
to be food.
Compartment.
It has to be nutrition. Yes, it has to be like, and that's, I can say just from my own healing journey and just how well I feel, that was, I was missing so many key pieces. And I and really that just came down to, I think when you have three kids under five, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, what, why are these tiny humans running my life?
Right. Exactly.
And then, like I said, God put people in my path, and a wonderful friend from St. Louis was at her own church and she did a study on boundaries. And the book she handed me was, oh, I'm going to forget the subtitle, but it was by Henry Cloud.
Yes, yes.
Boundaries.
His boundaries.
And
book, yes.
I was like, oh, okay, I'll read it. I put it on my shelf for a while. I spilled coffee on it before I even read it. Like, I have a visual memory of this thing just lying around.
Right.
Isn't that the way?
Yeah.
Like, until you're ready for it or
exactly.
until.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I know I read it with coffee stained pages. But so it already was tattered when I got it, but oh my gosh, it fed my soul. And to know that it was, it wasn't just a self-help book.
No.
Scripture was woven throughout it. And so.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen that picture that'll circulate on the internet sometimes? And it's like a wall of, a brick wall or maybe a fence, and they have drawn books underneath. And it's like a stack of three or four books, and it shifts all the bricks above it.
Huh.
And so that book just did that for me. It just changed so much of everything simply almost by learning the scripture that the Lord asks us to protect our hearts because all that's in it flows from there.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
So we live our daily lives just putting, locking our doors and our cars and putting fences maybe in our backyard so our dogs don't give out, but we just leave our hearts wide open.
Oh, that's so good.
Just wide, wide open.
Yes.
And I think we feel guilty by protecting that, but scripture tells us to do so. So that was really easy to surrender to. Well, no, it wasn't easy to surrender to, but once you read the word, it's just kind of like, okay, well, that's convicting if I'm being disobedient to what it says to do. So
absolutely.
I need to find this. I need to build this fence. And then there's a gate so you can allow in and you can allow. I mean, you cannot allow.
Right. Yes. So. But it all starts with your heart because from your heart flows everything else. And we forget that because we always start with the to-do list of what I need to do and don't. And
all the shoulds, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if our heart isn't there, then those lists just go. And I think that, you know, as we're approaching the new year and, you know, those New Year's resolutions that we're having, I think this is a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because that really goes back to the key of why those resolutions usually don't get fulfilled is because we don't start doing the groundwork.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have lots of boundary areas in our lives as homeschool moms. So what's the top area that we need to set boundaries as?
I really think if I can, I'll just speak from my perspective. So of course we're all going to have our individual priorities, but we're with these kids quite a bit of time. And I think because we have a, we have such a passion for a style of education, and we have such a passion for how we want to run our homes and raise our children, that it can be very all consuming.
Yes.
And in some cases, rightly so, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't balance your time. Or so I think when I was very exhausted, and when this book fell in my lap when I needed it most, I was giving my children access to me 24/7.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, and I really don't know that that's much of an over exaggeration.
Yeah.
And, but what that turned me into is I was not being a wife or a mother, that if I could remove myself to look into the situation.
You're kind of a teacher 24/7.
Yes. Or even just maybe impolite, maybe rude, maybe not loving, because I'm so exhausted, right? Because I'm doing the to-do list, but I wasn't feeding myself. I lost my identity. Again, what was coming out of my heart? Well, probably some pretty yucky behaviors. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it. I'm sure that there was a couple of years where I didn't
been there
do,
with you. Yes, you know? Exactly.
And well, how does that? So let's say, for instance, you sit down and you could teach all these scriptures, but then what am I modeling if I did my to-do?
Exactly.
I'm not modeling Christ to my kids if I'm being ugly, because it's almost opposite. You might as well just, you know, scrap the to-do list and just love. But I was incapable of just loving because I was so physically drained from round the clock care. And that's not only with kids, but the only reason this was my launch pad is because I think my kids were so young at the time that I started to implement these boundaries, that you have a little bit of like fewer external commitments. So it wasn't work demanding things or other relationships. It was, the kids were very consuming at that time.
Yes. And they are when they're younger. They're very physically consuming. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older into their teen, and it's mentally consuming. So it hasn't really changed. I was talking to some other people that have adult children like I do. And it's like, nobody tells you this keeps going. And it's very taxing on your soul.
And, well, and speaking of the nobody telling you,
But what are they telling you?
Yes.
Exactly.
All the supposed experts and all the books and all the things almost make you question your mothering ability if you're incapable of being a superwoman. Like if you can't do all the things and have joy in your heart and on your face, and you didn't do the craft and the house isn't clean, and you didn't cook an organic meal, and you did at what point do you break?
Yeah. And at some point we all do. We all hit that breaking point, but we handle it in different ways. But yes, that's a really good point.
And you kind of alluded to the beginning of this at the beginning of the conversation. So even though you may have been expecting a structural or a nutritional conversation out of me, like there's so much balance that we really need to try to attain. So that's structural, like we like to teach this in the clinic, structural, biochemical, as well as emotional. So you could be 100% somewhere else. So I'm telling you, there's probably times in my life I was pretty darn close to 100% like nutritionally on point.
Yeah.
But I know I spent a large portion of my 20s being not emotionally strong.
Yes.
I don't even like the word strong because that makes it sound like you have to do it all. Solid.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, you can't attain health if only one portion of your life is so. I just see that with patients a lot.
Puts you out of balance too. Yes. Because, and then also I've seen people like this, like when I go to the gym and, you know, that becomes their God too.
Oh, good. Yes.
And then, or the food becomes the God, or their children become their God.
Yeah.
And it just throws life completely out of whack. And yet we don't see it.
It's deception.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Because you see it as this is good, but something good can so swiftly turn into an idol.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, but that's why conversations like this and having a community of other homeschooling families or women, whether online or in person or at church, is so important. Because if you isolate yourself and you're all consumed, it's so difficult to look yourself in the mirror because of deception. You just, pride will stand in your way, busyness will, everything possible will stand in your way until you reach that breaking point. And I bet you and I have a heart enough for mothers that we're like, please don't reach your breaking point.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Or I might pray to for myself, like, please don't let me reach my breaking point. Please put someone in my path to help me see.
Exactly.
Give me eyes to see, ears to hear.
Right. And to be open to others speaking truth into your life. Mm-hmm. That was something I didn't do for a long, long time. And it was so detrimental to me for not allowing that. And now I have some dear friends that I'm like, just come over, tell me whatever I need to hear.
Yes, right.
Because I need to hear it. And I need to be back on track, because if I get off track, I know what that looks like.
Right.
And it's bad. It's really bad, because I have a way of just diving into things like head first all the time. And
it's harder to swim back to the top than it would be if someone like caught you before you fell in.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Definitely agree.
Yes. And so get those people in your life and definitely be prayerful about that too. I mean, for years I had closed so many doors that I don't think people were even willing to speak into my life.
Yeah.
And I had to be willing to say, I need help. I need friends and I need to find them. And God, of course, just threw somebody down four doors. She's going to be on the show next week.
It's amazing.
Into my life, that is willing to come over and just look me in the eye and say, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I need that.
Because
my boundaries get out of whack all the time.
And sometimes it's not even like, here's what tricks me. It doesn't always come from a place of, I'm too good to ask for help. That's not true. It comes from a caretaking standpoint of, I don't want to bother somebody. Like, I've been in those places where I do need help, but they're just busy too. I'll just do it. I surely don't, if it's a task-based thing or even emotionally, maybe, I don't want to bother them. They're probably busy today. And that's not true.
Yes.
Because as I've grown and, especially in community here and through church and grown in faith, you realize that's the example of all, like, of Titus, of their Titus women, to be finding women of maybe 5 years ahead of you, 10 years ahead of you, maybe 40 years ahead of you, and just being humble enough to
listen. Key. True. Yes, it is. Yes. Humble and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the keys for sure. So rest. Let's talk about that. Rest and fun. Because I think we leave those out of the equation completely.
Yes.
When we start homeschooling and as moms. And of course, going back to, all of the people that are speaking into our life through social media and just, all the to-do lists and stuff. Those are the things that we see as unnecessary or as not even getting on the list in the first place.
Why does America hate rest? It's like we think we like it.
Because you go to another country, and like I went to Italy with a friend for 10 days, and it was so nice. At lunchtime, everyone goes and spends an hour at lunch or more with people, and they talk and they converse, and it was just like a deep sigh.
Mm-hmm.
Healing.
That could be you could take that emotional, you could take that physical, if you wanted to go the human body route and what it can do, oh my goodness. But I think that when you try to cultivate that here, you really feel like you're going against the grain.
Yes. Absolutely.
You say, your kids aren't in 15 different activities. Oh, what do you do? I promise you, we do a lot of things, but it does not include 15 activities. That's not to say that activities aren't important and
you can have community.
Yes, of course. But I just think that we've somehow cultivated this culture where, you just got to hit the ground running. As soon as that alarm clock beeps, everybody's up. We're all leaving the house. We go here, we go there, we go. And I do believe that most homeschoolers intentionally set up a little bit of a different lifestyle. For instance, you might have four kids at the table and you're maybe dad leaves for work, but most of you are home. I think it's always been, that's a very big difference. And that's something we've tried to cultivate in our homeschool of just like being slower, because that allows, well, isn't that scriptural too? Being still.
Yes.
And so then you can allow the Lord to take control of your day, because
absolutely,
yes, you want to be productive and he asks you to number your days, but also let's make room for him to work in our day to figure out what conversations need to be have. Yes.
We don't have time for God.
Right.
And his interruptions and all the other things that he has planned.
Yes.
We don't.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing it's been a couple of years since I was having a conversation with another woman wiser than I. And it was just, it took this amazing turn where I realized, we both realized, maybe she even taught me, Jesus rested.
Yes.
So who are you, really seriously, if you want to just feel not guilt, I'm just saying mild conviction, like maybe not even mild, maybe serious, depending upon where you are in your walk.
Exactly.
Really seriously, who are you if you think you don't need to rest?
Yeah, absolutely.
When the Lord rested and Jesus took himself away from people he loved.
Absolutely.
From his teaching, from his, ministry, to be alone, to pray, to rest.
Yes.
And so that was kind of another realization in, well, if that's modeled to me.
Right.
Why me in my human flesh? Why can I do anything different?
Yeah.
You can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Absolutely. No. And I think at one point, one Bible study, I'm remember what I was studying, but it really impressed on me too. When my kids were young, I was reading through and just how needy the disciples were for Jesus and thinking how needy my kids were and him still saying, I need to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yes.
Right.
That is so, so much needed. My kids need me, but I need to be in God to be what my kids need.
So
from
good.
Me. And this morning, actually, I was reading about just Jesus feasting and partying, basically, that downtime, that free time, time when we just kind of let go of all expectations and just have fun with other people, and that just that community that we build in that, and how necessary it is. And, the scribes and the Pharisees called him a drunkard and a partier because he did that. He wasn't following the rules the way the rules were supposed to be followed. And we get so much like the scribes and the Pharisees when we start running our home and our lives
definitely
from that.
And then there's no room for hospitality, which is you could kind of make rest and hospitality, they're close cousins.
Exactly.
Because you're resting by being, I want to have enough white space, so to speak, on my schedule that if somebody in our circle or a neighbor whom you're supposed to love needs space to come have a cup of coffee.
Right.
I don't want to be so scheduled and unrested that either A, I'm not, nobody enjoys being around me because I'm frantic, or B, I'm literally not home. Like maybe I can't take the phone call or open the door, or because that's Christ. Christ modeled he was accessible when he needed to be, or, allowed himself to be, but he also protected his own. Maybe boundaries. I don't know. Is that weird to say? I suppose it is a boundary to tell the disciples he's stepping away. You'll be okay.
Right.
And that's a really good analogy too, to think about needy disciples and children, because it's true.
It is. It's very true.
And I do believe I realized at one point, I'm tired from answering everybody's needs, trying to solve everybody's problems, not only my kids. It could have been extended family. It could have been coworkers.
Right.
I think when you're a caretaker in general, that's very easy to do.
Yes.
But I knew that I was tired, and needed rest, but I didn't allow myself that. I also didn't allow myself boundaries, but also I loved these tiny humans in front of me so much that I'm like, I don't want them to learn from my behavior that this is what life looks like. I want them to be more calm and rested and happy and able to protect themselves from people who are boundary bullies, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yes. And modeling, you go back to that. That is the best way to teach our kids lessons because they do what we do and I hate it so much.
I know, right?
Because I do so many things I just wish I didn't. I agree with Paul on that one.
Definitely.
But yet we do. And yes, we can teach it going back to, you know, again, teaching the scripture and all those other things. But if we don't live it,
right,
we aren't really teaching it. We're just mouthing it and it only goes so far. And so, yeah, our boundaries have to be lived. And so the change happens in us.
Yes.
First. And so make sure we're on time here. So as far as questions, I only see Creative Minds Homeschooling has popped on. I see we have a couple other viewers joining us. If you want to put any questions or comments on the feed, we're going to be addressing those really soon. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. And so then, you know, we have all these hats we wear, and most of us are wives as well. And we have relationships with our husbands. And so what have you found as far as, you know, that piece of your life, you know, in integrating it and creating boundaries for your marriage too?
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, that almost takes precedence over all of this. Right. And so, I think as husband and wife, we learn to protect our time.
Yes.
And modeled the relationship of Christ in the church through our marriage so that it wasn't a child-centered home.
Right.
Which then also is a boundary because that sometimes means you can't listen to this conversation. So you need to go play in another room. And I have one child who's very tender-hearted. And so not maybe out of nosiness, but just wanting to be involved in everything. I think we're still training that into her, honestly, to realize like there's some things that we have to do this as adults, as husband and wife. Sometimes that's fun. Right. Sometimes that's a date night. Like, no, you're going to be fine. I know you're sad we're going out of town for a night, but you're going to have so much fun. You're going to be okay. Uh-huh. And other times it's logistical. Like maybe we're working with the family budget and you don't need to sit here and stare at me while we're doing our, you know, things like that. But as a wife, this might sound strange, but as a wife, I think that my boundaries grew when I really started to study and understand what a healthy and true biblical submission looked like.
Yes.
Because maybe for the rest of my life, I'm going to have this little bit of wiring inside of me that has weak boundaries. But if I can use gospel lenses to see that I actually don't need to deal with this issue because my husband, who's my headship, can handle this.
Yeah.
So if I'm having weak boundaries, being able to pass it off to a strong husband has kept me in my lane.
Yes. And I've learned so the freeing. Same thing too. It is. If you can work in tandem with your spouse to really compensate for one another. Because I know there's areas, my husband too, that he has weaker boundaries, but that's where my strong boundaries are. And I can just, you know, and he'll even turn to me and say, what do we do? And I'm like, this is what we do. Yeah. And I can make that decision because he's one of those people that has to research something for like 2 years before making a decision. Sure. And I can make a decision on the spot. And so, you know, we kind of just tag team those types of things. But over years of marriage, we've learned to rely on it.
Right.
And rest in each other's perspective and faith walk where that has to be developed. And definitely have to learn that.
Sometimes you might learn it wrong. So you know, like you might've been modeled it incorrectly in a family situation. the world surely does not accept. No. I mean, boundary submission's a whole nother category.
Exactly. Like,
but I tend to, I think this is kind of a characteristic of women, but it could just be myself, but I tend to overthink things really easily. So when it comes to a homeschooling journey or maybe even a parenting decision, right. if I'm like stuck in my head for days, I'll still do this where I'm like, why didn't I just, I probably should have just talked to my husband.
Right. Exactly.
Because sometimes it's so black and white for them. It's very easy to, for, you know, just make a decision and set the emotions aside with the decision.
Right. Exactly.
And then because of the authority of scripture and then the authority of a protective headship, it's easier to just say, okay, the decision has been made because God will protect that because that's his design.
Right. Exactly.
So there's
agreement in that.
Yes.
And it's come from both of us. And yes.
And that's been probably the biggest. So, you know, just learning the true definition of submission and how that means we work together, not what the world is
right.
telling you.
Exactly.
Submission
somebody
is
yeah, just telling you what to do
yes.
and you've got to do it. And yes, exactly. Yeah. My husband and I have always carved out time. Usually we walk the dog. That's our time because then the kids can't come. They don't want to come with
right.
us. But that's when we can talk about things that they don't need to hear about,
yes.
that we can sort through things that we've been processing that we need help making decisions on. And that's really helped with us. Because that's, you know, I think better when I move. And so it's just worked out well and the dog needs a walk.
And it's kind of like a designated
yes.
time, right?
Yes,
so like
exactly.
maybe you have a loop in mind so that it takes a
exactly.
specific amount
it takes
of time.
About 25 to 30 minutes.
And yes. then maybe there's when you have younger children, you're a little bit separated from whether it's
right.
a space, a morning time or something
exactly.
like that. So there's less interruptions.
Sleeping.
So
yes.
you're not kind of losing your train of thought.
Exactly.
Because of course that matters to the homeschool. Like the family unit is so important to
exactly.
the homeschool.
It is.
And I
Absolutely.
Think I feel like we needed growth in this area though, when we had especially two little, so they were three and a baby. It was just kind of like, in some ways you feel like you have to give them everything and
yes.
maybe even involve them in everything, but you're really putting a lot of weight on their shoulders.
Absolutely.
Like boundaries feel protective. You feel more protective driving on the road because you know that there's traffic laws that keep
people
traffic
in the
going
lanes.
This
yes.
direction and that direction.
Right.
And so that's another thing to realize when you're feeling some guilt, which I don't believe
yes.
is from the Lord
no.
about a particular boundary. It's teaching your children that you're safe.
Exactly.
They're safe because you're safe.
Yes. Oh, that's really, really good. Yes, absolutely. All right. So, I would love to know what, just a takeaway, for our viewers as like an action item saying, okay, I've heard all these things. I'm convicted. What can I do? And, you know, I don't want to make this taxing as to do, you know, okay, get out. Now we're going to add more to your to-do list because that's the last thing we need.
Right.
But what can we take away and start moving towards these more healthier boundaries versus where we're at right now,
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, being guilty about it and saying, oh man, I wish my boundaries were better, or I just need to go buy the Henry Cloud book.
Right. Or sometimes you just say to yourself, like, you're so convicted. Maybe there's a heavy conviction. Then you think, well, tomorrow's a new day and do everything all at once.
Everything.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's not breaking old habits anyways, because then you're still trying to be that superwoman who it's not realistic. So grace,
exactly.
of course, grace upon grace.
Exactly.
So praying over
yes.
the specific conviction that you felt is, you know, start there.
It's good.
But practically, I think I'm always that person who I do like to plan. I still do like a
yes.
list.
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
practically, I think what maybe where we started was making a list of everything we felt like we had to do.
Yeah, that's good.
And then the question that I've learned to ask myself over the years, which was surely taught at a service, I believe at One Life, was look through this with gospel lenses. Like, is this
yes,
activity serving the kingdom?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so that's, yes, that's great. If you, if you're building a leader by using a sport, an organized sport, but if that's draining everything else in your family because you're so involved because you have practices three times a night or you can't sit at the table together, you know, everybody's too discombobulated right. because of that one thing, even though it's a good thing, that's not serving the kingdom.
Right.
So we kind of prioritized what does that look like? What kind of character exactly. were we trying to model in our kids that we were able to, you know, cleanse some relationships, cleanse some yes. activities, honestly, maybe even as simple as books or school curriculum, or what about technology use?
Yes. No, that's huge.
So that's probably an easy takeaway for all of us is to just be a little bit more
conscientious.
Yes. Of what you're allowing in, get rid of what maybe like that. Does that sound too taxing, yes. even though you were saying to like, let's make it simple. Let's not take it all. No. Like, just start with a list. That's the practical. Yeah, make the list.
I think the evaluation part is so important because we don't sit and evaluate what is all that we're mm-hmm. doing and is it leading to a goal that we really want.
Right.
And because we just think, you know, we add in things, we kind of think, oh yes, this will be good. But is it good in the overall picture?
Yeah.
And does everything work together? Or are we spending way too much time pursuing this goal in the direction that this is taking us versus the overall goal that we want to see, you know, like when our kids launch?
Right.
Are we striving for those goals? Or are we striving to just make it through this week?
Mm-hmm. Which, and that, I mean, that's when it starts to feel like the rat race, even as a homeschool parent, because... Yeah. There's so many good things.
Yes.
And, but that's still probably too much. You know, like right. you can overwhelm your schedule a little bit too easily. So some people are completely unaware of how much they're doing. So maybe just the list yes. in and of itself will make it visual. And then you think, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No wonder I'm
no
so
wonder
tired.
I'm so stressed.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know this list was getting so big.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I find that things just creep in. And they just get added and you don't even think about yep. them. And so having that regular purge time, and I think this time of year is so good as we're looking into the new year and just thinking, what is it that I'm doing? And is it all directed into the yeah. that direction I want us to be going? And that I really feel that God is calling us as a family and my kids. And as your kids get older too, you can make them part of that.
Sure.
As they need to learn how to do that.
Absolutely.
Yes,
yeah, because just growing to an adult doesn't automatically
yeah.
like
don't
you know,
wish.
Just because you're 18, yes. you might not know how to manage a schedule or and yeah. as women, isn't it just kind of the classic study in scripture of Martha and Mary? Like
yes.
I am absolutely wired as a Martha Hart and I don't, but we know which right. Jesus prefers and what you know.
Exactly.
And isn't that another way to ask yourself, well, what does Christ prefer?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's, you know, those are probably just key little questions. Maybe you just hang on to the questions. Maybe you make your list. Maybe you don't, but maybe you hang on to the questions of, or like, you know, the kind of the one-liners that I feel like were epiphanies to me, like you should be guarding your heart because that's a boundary.
Yes.
And asking yourself, am I being Martha or Mary? Maybe you start with a Bible study in that area. The Lord will illuminate it for sure.
Exactly.
For sure. Yes. Especially if you're
absolutely
discombobulated currently.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you're asking, maybe we just needed to start with asking where do I start?
Yeah. Yeah. And God will be so clear. That's the prayer, one of the prayers, you know, of all the things that we pray, God wants to answer that for us more, almost more, you know, than anything, because that's where everything that we do starts from.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be the Lord of our lives.
That's so
and
good.
We have to turn it over
yes.
to him. And that's how the process starts. So you can't see from the video that Amber is very pregnant. And so you're adding a new baby into
yes.
all of these boundaries.
Yes.
You know, and I think a lot of people, they may not be having a baby, but they may be having a life change
sure.
that's coming up. Or maybe even they're you know, they're graduating a child, all these big transitions, or they're going to move. How do you prepare, and how have you prepared, you know, as far as what, how is this going to look? How are these bound, what the new boundaries I need to put in
place? Oh, definitely. So that's probably, I'm sure that we will come across things that we think, oh, we did not think through this.
Yes.
So it will not be a perfect journey, but, gosh, surely, hopefully we've learned some things in 12 years of parenting. Yes. I would like to believe that we have. So,
well, I keep saying, you know, if I had kids again, I would surely do better.
Yes. I just, I mean, there has to be something that you're, I mean, if you've been open and humble and coachable and, you know, surely we've learned some things, but I do think the overwhelming idea is we've really just learned that we're going to keep it simple.
Yes.
Because so that might look like in a homeschool setting, we're not probably going to follow a curriculum for legalistically for a couple of months. Maybe, you know, you just submit to the sovereignty of God that like he knew this baby was coming. He knew this baby was supposed to fit in this family. He knew this baby has three older siblings that also, you know, will need parenting during this time.
So exactly.
Keeping it simple will probably be the easiest thing to maintain. And then where do boundaries play in with that? Well, then if one of us decides to get this harebrained idea to, you know, go like, oh, we're going stir crazy, let's go, you know, out of town. Well, we kind of said we're going to keep it simple. So that's a boundary in and of itself that there's accountability with husband and wife to maintain that. And the girls will have to experience something different because they all grew up so close together.
Exactly.
They are little mothers. So here's where I'm wondering what my boundaries will look like, because I'm kind of suspectful that I'm going to have an overwhelming amount of help.
Ah.
And so I'm preparing myself already to feel comfortable saying, I know you love her because this is another daughter.
Exciting.
Yes. I know you love her, but she really needs to be with me right now. Or I know you love her, but she's napping. You don't need to be kissing her, touching her.
Yes, yes.
You know, just finding peace within my own heart of telling them,
This is okay.
Yes.
This is not. And yeah.
Without feeling bad, because my emotions get so mixed up in that, where I will start to be like, oh, but they love her and they mean well and they want to snuggle her. Okay, I'll allow it. But then maybe I just said, no, I don't want to do it. And then I allow it. And then they're all confused.
Exactly.
So it's been more of a heart journey for me leading up to her birth to know that. It's just things have to slow down, and I don't need to feel bad about that.
Right.
Schoolwork might need to be paused, and I don't need to feel bad about that. And I just have to maintain authority over some of the decisions, you know, when it's just the five of us at home, even though they mean well and they want to be incredibly involved, because that's my assumption.
Right.
I'm not going to hurt them or suppress their emotions if I don't allow that.
Exactly.
Because there'll come a time, you know, they'll have an opportunity in the next 3 hours. It's just not right now.
Right. Exactly. So. And when you can look at it from that perspective, is that it's not that you're cutting off the relationship. You're just making space for what needs to happen now to happen. And I learned that lesson huge when I had cancer, because my life just upended and I didn't have time to plan.
Right.
But I learned very quickly that everything that was not necessary had to go. Mm. And it just had to be the way it was.
And now, you know, with length of time between when that started to how you've healed and where you're at now, you can probably see in hindsight.
Yes.
It really was all okay.
It was okay. God took care of what was needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of things about the boundaries that I needed to put in my own life that weren't there, that were detrimental to my health.
That's so good.
And it's just, do you want to learn the hard way or do you want to learn the easy way? Unfortunately is where it comes down to. And when we don't take the time on the front end, it will be taken on the back end.
Absolutely.
And
one may be healthy one should be healthy and the other is harmful, you know, again, to that breaking point or to the detriment of your physical body.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, yeah, I just realized, well, all those times that I didn't go to bed early and I, you know, and I didn't do this and I didn't do that, well, I'm paying for it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it wakes you up really quickly. Because yes, you're going to make time for it eventually.
Yeah.
And do you want to plan for it or do you not? Yeah. So Creative Minds Homeschooling has a couple of things here. I'm going to, she said, my kids are very light sleepers, so we are moving our rooms around so we can have a place to go to relax and unwind and connect without the kids coming to say, Mom and Dad, can you talk quieter? So even space, you know, I didn't think about that.
That's as a very far good as
boundaries
point.
And setting up our mm-hmm. homes, that's a really great point, is we don't often think about how we set up our space as to create right. proper boundaries with our kids. And so, yeah. And then she talked about, just gymnastics and, you know, the cost as well as the involvement and, you know, all these activities that we add. And some activities are good. I mean, like you said, we don't want to like just cut ourselves off from the world.
On the activities.
Yes.
You can't say like, this is bad, but it could be so great. What if it is amazing? What if you actually have a gymnast?
Yes.
But the Lord is giving you, there's unrest in your heart and you can feel that it's, you're discerning that God's leading you another way. We have to be willing to walk away from those things.
Exactly.
That is a proper boundary and that is hard.
Yes.
But it's still, you know, there can be peace when you submit to the word. And then you also need to have, I think, very real support, other women in your lives or other families to
yes.
reassure you that it's okay.
Right.
I promise you're not ruining your child.
You're ruining your child.
Because
and
isn't
that's
that
what the
just
world
like what,
would tell us
yes.
is like you're
how
cutting
dare
off
you.
All possibility for them to ever, you know, use
they'll never
that
do
talent
it again.
Or gift.
Yes.
Or yes. And it's just not
no.
the way it
mm-hmm.
is. And that may be what they did was all they needed for what God has prepared yet for them.
Yes.
And it's, you know, we often will strive for our own goals for our children instead of
yeah,
God's
goals. Yeah, oh gosh, that's a good word
for our children.
Definitely. Just thinking, and, you know, keeping that perspective of not, it's just, our value system just gets skewed. And when your values right. are skewed that way of, you know, productivity, well, there goes rest. If you
yes.
only find value in being productive or maybe how you give or receive love, that's skewed. Well, that's going to tangle up your boundaries because
yes.
if you believe that you're loving your child by providing gymnastics and that's the only way
that it's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah, well, then that's really going to be hard to put that boundary up and to say, because you're going to remove it and feel as if you're removing love, but that's not true.
No, it's not.
So it is, gosh, it takes
yes.
resilience. Isn't that why
yeah.
we have these conversations
exactly.
and why we yeah. need podcasts, great books, amazing pastors, churches that don't water down the word, all the
exactly.
things, because I think as a Christian period, you're going against the world.
Yes,
and,
you are.
I mean,
we're,
probably mm-hmm. multiple generations have felt this, but I think it's really heavy in 2022.
Heavy yes.
And now we have like access to our cell phones and we can carry a computer all the time. And then you have social media and all these things to compare. So it's just like, you can study the wrong things and be so involved
yes.
that you just feel more and more and more isolated.
Yeah.
And so I just think resilience is the right word.
It is. It really
so
is.
It needs support. It needs these great conversations and.
Yeah. And really to know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that we all go through these struggles. We all have these tensions in our lives and we don't have it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
God has it figured out.
Right. Exactly.
We have to rely on him and just be okay. And my tensions are going to be different than your tensions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the direction God takes you is going to be different than mine.
Right.
And they're both good
mm-hmm.
and they're good in his eyes, but we have to be okay with, this is what he's asked me to give up. This is what he's
right.
asked our family to give up. This is the path that we are on. And that I can rest in.
Mm-hmm. because of his sovereignty. And he asks you to participate. You're participating because you're discerning what he's asking you to do. Well, then you do what you're obedient to what he's asking. Because someone said to me once that, like, for instance, if you had a particular conviction and I didn't, well, I'm not necessarily being disobedient unless I'm not hearing.
Yeah.
But once it's illuminated to me and I decide not to act on it, well, then I am being disobedient.
Right. Exactly.
And so, again, you pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. And there will be fruit in that, even if you can't see it. But that's the testimony to faith, that even if you can't see it, you still say, I'm really certain that we need to postpone this activity for now.
Exactly.
I don't know what the future holds for us, but I'm really wanting to listen. And I'll say that to our kids sometimes. They're immature yet, of course. They're 12 and under, but I don't think it's too soon to say, I really feel God leading our family this way. So we're going to listen to the Lord and we're going to trust him. And for a time being, that means we're pausing activities. Or whatever it might be.
Yeah. We had an incredible story with and it was at a very young age. I think my son was about 11 or 12, maybe. It was like right before he was going into youth group. So, but God called us to sell our house. And we were convicted. My husband and I were totally convicted that we needed to sell our house. And he was adamant, this is where God wanted us to stay for the rest of our lives. And I said, fine, you pray about it. And have God speak to you. And 2 days later, he prayed that morning, said, God, today's the day. But he didn't tell any of us that he was going to pray and that God was supposed to answer him that day. And that whole day, he was watching and waiting for God to speak to him. And that night, he sat down. And in the dark, our kids always got together and they sat on my daughter's bed and they played an audio tape. And they put in an audio tape in the dark. And it was Mr. Henry's Wild and Wacky Bible Stories. And he hit play. And the story was about God calling Abraham, get out of this land. And he's like, no. And he knew that was God speaking to him. And of course, we never had any issues after that with the move. But like, I call it kind of like loaning out my faith to my kids, but allowing them to have that opportunity to hear God.
That's so good.
As well. And those, God will set definite boundaries and he will keep repeating those because he wants us to live how he wants us to live. And it's just being aware instead of so on track. I mean, we've been talking about this whole time is it's us or it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to give up us.
Yes.
So that you've just added so much information and wisdom into this. And I just want to thank you for this conversation.
Oh, well, it's always on my heart. I just have such a passion for, I don't know, healthy families and women, just because I lived a good decade of my life just too burdened and buried, where I know that I, like I said at the beginning, I was not the wife or the mother that the Lord would have wanted me to be. And I couldn't hear it for so long that we just all need to lift each other up and be safe for conversations
Yes.
That does not happen on social media either. There's no safety there. I mean, you're not going to be able to share vulnerably on Facebook and get generally loving answers.
Right. Yes.
And so finding your people and having these difficult conversations and having a lady four doors down who's willing to say, I love you, but this is out of line. And you being humble enough to hear it will be paramount into creating a healthy lifestyle and being able to put down new boundaries, which might be new for you.
Right.
Because they feel uncomfortable.
They're very uncomfortable. let's remind you of that. This is an uncomfortable process, but it's uncomfortable to become more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And really to be able to strive for the walk you want instead of just keeping on that hamster wheel.
Definitely.
That we're on.
It's a great analogy.
Yes. All right. Well, we have used up the hour. This has been so fun. I just want to thank you all for joining us that have joined us live. If you've joined us on the podcast, just know that this broadcast was sponsored by viewers like you. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to Sped Homeschool, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. And we have these conversations usually on Tuesdays. Today's Thursday. We've got some back-to-back ones through this month of December. I had said last podcast, we're setting some boundaries for our team this month too. We're trying to get some time off for me and some of the people that work on our video editing and podcast editing so they can get a little time with their families over Christmas and New Year's. So we're setting some boundaries as well, but want to just keep encouraging you with these conversations and these videos. So thanks for joining us. And thank you, Amber, for
thanks
your time.
Again.
This
Absolutely.
Has been so fun. And my next guest will be in person next Tuesday at our regular time. She's a friend of both mine and Amber's. Her name is Leslie Hurd, and we're going to talk about nutrition and doable nutrition 101 kind of for you as a busy homeschooling parent. And so you'll want to join us back here next time for that. So thanks, everybody, and have a great weekend. And I will see you on Tuesday next week. God bless. Bye, everyone.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Need more of God's power in your life? I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical tips on how to grow your faith through prayer. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.